Today's Survivor Exit interview is sponsored by NatureBox. If you thought last night's tribal council was nuts, you haven't tried pistachio power clusters from NatureBox. Get 50% off your first order of great tasting, healthy for you snacks with NatureBox. Go to naturebox.com/RHAP. That's naturebox.com/RHAP for 50% off your first order. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino here on the road with an exit interview, and this is not one that I thought we would be doing anytime soon. We're going to be talking with Mr. Survivor, Malcolm Freeburg. He is going to be joining us after one of the most insane tribal councils we've ever seen in the history of the show, and Malcolm is going to talk it through us with us as we are sitting Shiva this morning for Malcolm going out of the game. We did have a fantastic time last night at the Live Know-It-Alls at Caroline's on Broadway in New York City. Got to see and interact with so many listeners of the show. Such a great crowd, such a great energy. Josh Wigler had an amazing video that he captured of the red wedding moment when Malcolm goes out of the game. We can post that for you guys in the post on robhasawebsite.com. So check that out. We have the audio up. We'll have video of the show as well up at robhasawebsite.com. So be on the lookout for that. Later on today, I'm going to be checking in with Richard Hatch. Always great to get what the original game changer. Actually, I don't even know if there was a game before he did anything. So I don't know if he's technically a game changer, but I'll talk with him later on today. And then on Friday, we'll get into your voicemails with Liana Boris. Get your calls in robhasawebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP for all of the feedback from this week's show. We definitely want to hear from you guys. And of course, you can make sure you don't miss any of that when you subscribe to the podcast. robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. All right. It looks like we have Malk on the line. Let's go ahead and patch him in. Malk, what is this? This wasn't supposed to happen.
It's horseshit is what it is.
How are you doing, buddy?
I'm pretty good, actually. I'm sure we'll get into it, but it's not as hard to swallow when you honestly believe in your heart that you couldn't have done anything else.
Yeah.
So not as bad as I was the first couple times I watched myself get kicked off.
Well, Malcolm, if it's any consolation, we had a room of about 350 people that were just horrified to see what happened. I thought there was going to be a riot at our live show last night.
Yes, I appreciate all of the condolences and angry people and the ones who are just tweeting the word no with 12
right.
O's on the end.
Right. And I've been to the Survivor Facebook page, Malcolm, and it's people are not happy today.
Oh, God, I stay away from the Survivor Facebook page. Don't get me wrong. I love the support of the Facebook mom, but I try to stay away from there.
All right. Well, Malcolm, let's just talk through this. So one of the craziest tribal councils that we've ever seen, if not the craziest, and so much going on. It was really unclear to a lot of us who was trying to do what, like what was a bluff and what was for real. So what did JT want to have happen in your perspective?
Yeah, I'm going to try to explain this as best I can, but understand that even I don't have it 100% on lock, so some of this is speculation. But my understanding is JT wanted Sandra gone. So he goes to Brad under the auspices of telling Brad that he's safe, which I was okay with because I was hoping to work with JT and Brad down the road. Get to that later, I'm sure. So whatever, go talk to Brad, not knowing he's going to give away the whole plan. But JT's idea, I think, was to get all five of that other tribe, Numana, to vote for Sandra, and then he would be the sixth vote for Sandra. Now, I don't think that makes any sense in the world at all, but I think that's what was going through his head. And one of the big things you don't see in the episode is JT really freaked out towards the end of that tribal council before we voted because he knew that the other tribe wasn't going to go along with his plan. So that's when he starts barking us, we got to change the vote, we got to change the vote, we got to change the vote. But he won't tell us why. He won't tell us that he told Brad about the Sierra vote. So, like, none of us were like, well, why do we have to change it? And he wouldn't tell us because he's like a child who doesn't want to admit that he's done wrong. So JT's plan, I think, was to vote out Sanders with the other tribe. But once he realized that they weren't voting for Sanders, he came, jumped back on board with us last minute to vote Sierra. I'm not saying that's great gameplay. In fact, pretty awful, but I think that's what was going through his head.
Yeah, one of the things that I was a little unclear about in the episode, how much did you actually want to get rid of Sandra? We saw a lot of JT talking about it, and we heard a lot of JT's perspective, but I think the only thing we heard you say was that you mentioned, yeah, JT and I have been talking about getting rid of Sandra, but I wasn't sure if you actually wanted Sandra to go out before JT.
No, I mean, one of the things I've learned doing this a couple times is just agree with everybody to their face. Just say yes. If any of you listening that's going to be on Survivor, just say yes all the time to people's faces. So JT starts throwing around Sandra. Yeah, sure, buddy, I'm all over it. But, you know, at the time, you got to remember that conversation with JT, too, was before we knew about this twist. So we're talking about a traditional tribal council where we're going to have to vote off somebody on this tribe. JT knows he's down 5-1, so he's going to say whatever he can. He thought Sandra was the easiest target. Now, if we had to go to, like, a normal tribal council that night, I can't actually tell you who it would have been because it would have been all over the place. Tell you the truth, JT probably would have been safe. Right now, you haven't seen a lot of it. Sandra and Aubrey are in a feud since very early on in the Mana tribe. Mm-hmm. Barner blew a huge lead in that challenge. And me and JT were, I mean, I sympathized with him when he started crying. I gave him a hug off camera. But me and JT were pissed at Barner. He blew a huge lead there. I didn't like Michaela one bit on the island. So it would have been really interesting if we had to go to a normal tribal council.
Now, what was Haley trying to do? I was also unclear whether she was trying to be a double agent and really just try to make you guys think that she was still potentially with Mana, or if her allegiance was to the new Mana tribe. Did you get a clear sense of what she was trying to do?
Yeah, I know Haley in real life. My Dirty 30 connection.
Yes.
So, you know,
yes.
I adore Haley. She's one of my favorite people. Haley says some shit at tribal council that I never understand what the hell she's thinking. Like, she almost blew the Sierra vote in the first tribal council. She said something ridiculous when we were getting rid of Tony that also made us all pee our pants. And so this time I'm not 100%. I can't tell you what Haley was thinking. What I can tell you is that when New Nuku was all sitting at the beach discussing what was going on, or like what our plan was, our thought was, let's just tell Haley to vote with New Mana. And I think Sandra took the lead on that because we didn't think we needed her. We thought we had this so on lock that let's insulate Haley. We don't know what happened to Caleb, but we don't know her position in that tribe. So let's insulate Haley so we can reconnect with her later, make her look like she's loyal to these guys, but know that she'll come back to us later on in the game. So we were actually encouraging Haley not to vote with us at Tribal Council because, again, like, except for JT's dumbass, everything would have been fine.
Yeah. Did it ever come up? There was no mention that they had an idol. Did you were just guessing whether or not they did or not?
I mean, me and Aubrey are the survivor nerds on that tribe.
Yes.
We sat there for hours before that tribal council working through every single thing we could come up with. And I think she said it like, let's just assume they have an idol. Like, let's just plan everything that way. So we absolutely just, every plan we made was in presuming that they had an idol. And the agreement was that Sierra is not going to have it. Sierra, as far as I know, again, 30-30 stuff, never has looked for an idol in her life. And she's not going to find it. And the odds of somebody handing it off to her are insanely low because they'd have to be 100% confident about that they were going to get it right. So, obviously, JT handed them the get-out-of-jail-free card on that one. But that's where the idea, we absolutely planned for the idol, and that's a lot of the reason where the Sierra vote came from, because we just assumed she would never ever find one.
Malcolm, have you lost your mojo in finding the idols? What's going on with that?
I'll tell you the truth, it hurt my heart and I was going a little crazy. I didn't look that much. I was honestly a big part of the push early on in the Mana tribe to get rid of people who were playing too hard. I wanted to use Aris's vibes from whenever the last time he played was, Bloodwater,
yeah,
where he had everyone just being zen on the beach and like, everybody chill out, let's not play too hard. That was my strategy going into the game to try to catch some of the crazy aggressive players. I wanted Sierra gone, I got Sierra. I wanted Varner early on, but we ended up doing Tony instead, which I actually completely backfired because I really wanted Tony to stick around. But in that spirit of slowing everything down and seeing that Tony was working so hard and backfired for him, I don't think I ever looked for an idle on mana for more than just a few minutes at a time, kind of scrambling off. And then once we got to New Nuku, I looked a bit. It just didn't make the episode, but I was looking a fair amount. Just, I don't know what the hell's going on. Couldn't find the damn thing for the life of me.
Now, the only thing that I could think of in this tribal council that maybe could have gone differently was there too much sort of huddling and secrets and subterfuge going on? Like, would it have been maybe more clear to just announce the intention of what you were going to, like, for instance, like more for, so for JT, should JT have just said, hey, I want to vote off Sandra tonight. Who's with me?
If he did that, I could see the argument for him doing that. You know what would have happened? Is Haley, well, we would have, all right, well, screw you, JT. We would have went and grabbed Haley and had our sixth number because Haley did want to work with us.
Yeah.
And we, again, I was like, we thought we had all this on lock and we were trying to protect it. But if JT had done that, we'd have, Haley, come here. All right, JT, go bye-bye. We're going to put six votes on you or something like that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the minute if he'd have done that, I think Haley would have come over and we would have still had numbers.
So I guess for me, and what we were talking about last night was like, I don't know necessarily the difference between doing what he actually did and then, you know, potentially just saying that, because at the moment that he goes and talks to Brad Culpepper, were you buying that he was just going and trying to sell him, you know, something that wasn't real?
Well, I guess to back up a step, like, they hinted at it on the show, but they really, like, me and JT romanced hard. Like, the minute we got swapped together, like, we're holding hands and skipping down the beach in love with each other. Like, I adore JT. It just hit it off immediately. And the tribe encouraged it because we might want to work with JT down the road and we need him for challenges, so go bromance with him and do what you need to do. So me and JT were actually very, very tight, which makes all of this even worse in my mind. But me and JT are super tight, so he leans over to me and says, I'm going to go tell Brad that he's safe. Well, now I'm thinking in my head that, well, I kind of, like, the way the numbers are going with, along original tribe lines, if I want to jump over and need help from the original Nuku tribe, Brad's going to be a good in, and I have JT. Like, I can work with these guys down the road. So I don't think I told him, yes, go tell him that he's safe. I was like, I don't care, just go, whatever, do what you're going to do. But I had no idea that he would, obviously, that he would give away the entire plan of our team.
Yeah.
And I can't explain it. I don't think there's a whole lot of logic there to dissect. I just think JT's trying to, you know, I was warned by a former player, don't let the cowboy do too much thinking on his own. And that was my mistake last night.
All right. When we have more time, we'll have to try to think about who that could have been that said that. But so talk about the actual twist, because that I thought that ultimately the twist turned out to be something that really worked against you, where I described you last night as it was almost like you were a merge boot on day 11, where people just said, okay, well, this guy is, you know, the biggest threat to win here. Let's just take him out now. What did you think about the twist in hindsight?
The way you put it is exactly how I described it to my mom when she was like screaming about JT on the phone last night.
Yeah.
It was just, they created a merge boot situation like 10 days into the game. My only gripe with it, I had this thought at the time, is I don't have a single chance to talk to the other tribes. There's no time to work. Like, you're just going to throw us into there's a huge element of, I mean, there's always an element of chance and luck in these things, but to not allow anyone to like play with each other and then go into a vote together. In a merge, you have days to talk and work. Here, it's just like, well, go knock yourselves out. Now, to be honest with you, at the time, I loved the twist. I thought this was horribly unfair to the new mana tribe. She only had five people. I was on cloud nine when I heard about it. But looking back on it, like, it is, I mean, obviously I hate it because it didn't work out for me. And I don't like that there was no time to talk to the other tribe was my big reaction. I mean, I know we did at Tribal Council, but again, I have a very hard time like knocking it because like we're 17 years into Survivor and this is like what makes the show fun. Mm-hmm. Like as much as I want to be angry and stomp my feet, like that's what makes Survivor great. It was a huge episode. Everyone's talking about it. And that's why the show's going to stay on air for forever, which me and you and everyone else as fans love. So yes. I can't be that mad.
Malcolm, how did you feel overall you were doing in this game? You know, it was a little bit of a disturbing trend that, you know, three mana people had been picked off so far. Did you feel like that your number eventually was going to come up, or you felt like you were going to be able to ride this thing out?
yeah, long term, I was starting to get concerned. Tony and Caleb were guys I thought I was going to go a long way with. I was totally trying to Jeremy Meachill my way through the merge. So, and especially when it became very clear, and I think the feeling out there was that this is becoming the way this game's going to go, especially in those early days, is original tribe versus original tribe. So they keep getting picked off. I'm like, Tony goes. I didn't want Tony to go, but all right, you sit there and you try to chart a new path to the end. Then Caleb goes. I'm like, well, shit, there goes another one. I got to figure out a new way to get to the end and how this could work out for me. In the short term, I loved where I was. I was right in the middle of Nuku. Everyone was talking about each other, but not me, as far as I know. And I'd gotten in really good with JT, who was getting my connection on the other side. I really thought, like, I mean, I couldn't know that Brad was going to, like, be aggressively knocking off big guys. But at the time, I thought, like, me, JT will work me with Brad and whoever's still around from his tribe, and that will be my way to kind of navigate the mid-game. So I wasn't thrilled with how, in a macro sense, the season was going. But I was safe for the short term until folks decided to throw this twist at us. And I thought I still had I have a high enough opinion of myself to think I could have figured out a way through the mid-game.
Who was your closest ally? Did it end up being JT after he swapped to you guys?
The tribe, like Aubrey and Sandra and all them, encouraged me to go cultivate that relationship.
Yeah.
And me and JT were super tight. But from the beginning, me and Sandra were close. Varner, we talked strategy, but not that close. Michaela, if I got to pick a boot, Michaela would have been the one I wanted gone. But me and Aubrey were super, super tight. We hit it off immediately with the uber nerds about all of this. Me and Aubrey hit it off immediately, and she was probably the one that, like, what we say out there is the person you tell everything to is usually, like, just one. She was the person I told everything to, and I think she told everything to me, too. So Aubrey was my ride or die.
Now, Malcolm, you have this very untimely end to your game here in Survivor Game Changers. Would you come back and play Survivor again? Is that something that is interesting to you, or do you feel like that you have such a bad taste in your mouth about this that you're done?
I need to be really careful because it keeps getting worse, doesn't it? Like, I'm going to be the first boot if I come back.
Malcolm.
my take on it is for this third time, I was a little hesitant. You know, I was excited and enthusiastic and all that when I made the decision to do it. But, you know, real life things have been a few years. Maybe I moved on. But, you know, how can you pass up a chance to do it again? But I was definitely hesitant. And then when I got kicked off, I mean, I obviously had the big reaction. I'm crying my eyes out like a little schoolgirl. That wasn't because of the boot. That was because, like, it felt like a chapter in my life is over. As you know, like, three is sort of like a soft number for how many times you get to play. Like, if you're lucky, not lucky. I know Suri and Ozzy and all that. Now that's kind of changing.
Yeah.
But three always seemed like this number that was going to be the last time. And, the reason I was like, I realized afterward that I had like such a weepy final word, because, like, well, Survivor just ended for me. That was my third time. That's got like rest. But if they called back for a fourth time, there'd be less hesitation than ever before, because now it's unfinished business. Like, that can't be how it ends.
Okay.
I can't go out like that. And if you give me the chance to fix it, I'm going to.
Unfinished business season.
Or be the first two.
Could be something. We could be onto something. All right, Mal, if you need anything, you want to reach out to me. Look, we have so much in common. Day 38 boots, fourth out of a season. So much that we're almost the same. We're pretty much the same. I just don't want to see you go into the Jimmy T downward spiral, and then we end up at that point sooner than later. Okay. All right.
I realized our similarities this morning, actually, and started cracking up to myself. And I don't know if you saw it. I kind of called you out
I saw
your big reaction to getting kicked off All Stars. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I just did the exact same thing.
Now you know. Okay. All right, Malcolm. You know I love you, buddy. Hope to talk to you again soon. All the best. Take care.
Love you, too. I'll talk soon.
All right. Bye. All right, everybody, there you have it. There was Malk here on the exit interview. Thanks to CBS for giving us a little extra time with Malk this morning. And I really still can't get over it. I kind of felt like that this was, when you looked at it, you thought maybe this was going to be the season that Malcolm was going to come back and just dominate and play the game and fulfill that destiny. But I do like that idea of an unfinished business season. I know we did that on The Amazing Race. Could be a fun idea, especially when we're like so desperate to come up with themes that work for Survivor seasons. I think that unfinished business is as good as anything else that we're going to come up with and be a good spot to bring Malcolm back. All right, so that's going to do it for this episode. No This Week in Survivor History again. We will catch up with Jordan Kalish again next week. Really, I had in the scheduling of this, I had thought this was going to be a double exit interview because we're going to have two tribes going to tribal council, but even I get thrown off by the Survivor twists here and there. So a little bit of a shorter episode for you guys here today on the Exit Interview Podcast. So coming up next for me, I'm going to be speaking with Richard Hatch later on this afternoon back in my mom's basement after the trip to the city. And then on Friday, following me flying back to LA, I'm going to get into the studio and take your voicemails with Liana Boris. So get your voicemails in robhasawebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. And looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say in the comments. I've read so many nice things on social media about the event that we had over these last two nights in New York, and really makes it very fun for me to do the podcast and see how much people are enjoying it in person as well. So I appreciate all the kind words. Have a great one, everybody. Take care. Bye.